Test, test, 1, 2, 3.
Happy Palm Sunday.
Happy Palm Sunday, everybody.
My favorite Sunday of the church calendar.
That got taken away from you this year.
You know, I tried to take it back a little bit.
You did.
In this day.
I think so. Yeah, it's just hard. The calendar.
Have one.
I have one.
You stole that from me.
I stole your donkey's walk. But yeah, it's hard. We had, let's introduce ourselves.
Oh, sorry.
I'm Pastor Matt.
I'm Pastor Dana.
Welcome to Continuing Conversations. We're off to a flying start. We didn't even introduce ourselves. But yeah, I stole your poem here. But yeah, it is Confirmation Sunday as well as Palm Sunday.
Confirmation Sunday.
Controversial. It's hard.
Controversial.
Controversial. Well, for people who know/care, it was controversial. My dad and you.
Yes. Oh, your dad comes up to me after the service and he goes, "So, why did we have Confirmation Sunday on Palm Sunday?" I said, "Paul, you don't want to talk to me about that. You don't."
Yeah, you are. You guys are copacetic on that, and I'm with you. I don't want to have Confirmation Sunday on Palm Sunday. It seems like we sold Palm Sunday short because it's not like this is a Sunday that lends itself to Confirmation Sunday, like. A lot of churches do Reformation Sunday as Palm Sunday, Reformation Sunday as Confirmation Sunday, which does make a lot of sense because they go hand in hand.
It does.
Of like,
it's
a faith thing, you know, the red thing, the affirmation of baptism thing, like it all goes hand in hand. You know, we're reaffirming our reforming church and all that stuff. And today was like the triumphal entry into Jerusalem and the beginning of Holy Week. And also these confirmands.
I think,
but I don't know where else to put it on the schedule. I know we could have done it.
I know it's just wherever. How the calendar fell this year. And you know,
but
yeah, I wasn't a part of that process, but
no,
you would have heard from me
up.
At that point, but, you did hear from me all week. So
that's true. That's true. You made your point.
I just think
and you're not wrong.
There is this like special moment that happens before this week starts where we are like, hey, we've been waiting to be saved. The king is going to come save us.
Right.
In Jerusalem at that time, they would have set up kings and Pharisees to be praised like this parade on Palm Sunday, but in very different ways. They're not waving palms and riding in on a donkey. They're riding in on war horses with weapons and shouts of violence and like, you're going to save us in this big way. And Jesus turns this around and we're supposed to go, oh, this is the king we're talking about. We have, you know, we have some of these days on the calendar, Christ the King and you know, other ones to look at Jesus in different ways. Great examples, Dana.
Christ the King
and other ones. Well, even like Good Shepherd Sunday, you know, we're supposed to look at Jesus in from different angles and in different ways. And this is the one where it's like, no, this is the king actually riding into the city. Into this and we're supposed to, this is a grounding moment of like, we're going to be with you right now waving our palms, but this week coming into a holy week that is going to devastate us also.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be devastating to the ones who say, this is my king. So I don't know. That was my, I don't even know where I was going with that. To put it on Confirmation Sunday, then
it's hard.
It's hard. It takes away from it a little bit.
It cheapens it a little bit.
It takes away from the confirmation part of it too.
Right.
Like that is also something to be celebrated. And
It seems like we stole from both Palm Sunday and the confirmation.
A little bit. A little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
I'm getting over it though. We did it.
It's done.
That's the.
Congratulations to our 15 confirmands though.
Yeah.
That was very cool.
They
that
did
second
awesome.
Service was packed to the gills. I mean, we had to take out the extra.
Yeah.
The extra chairs, which is always a really nice, fun problem to have.
Yep.
To see people scrambling around getting folding chairs, I'm always like, yes,
that's
a happy thing. But yeah, it is hard because it's also Palm Sunday. But, you know, we tried to do a bit of both. Maybe next year we'll get it right. Because the problem is, last year and in previous years, we've also tried the Palm Passion thing, which
is also hard.
Which is also hard because it also takes away. Palm Sunday keeps getting stuff added to it or taken away from it. A lot of churches do this Palm Passion Sunday, where you begin the worship service with the Palm Sunday reading, all the hosannas and waving the palm branches, and here we go, and we parade around the church, and then you end the church service with the passion reading,
right?
In hopes that the
what the passion reading is.
So the passion reading, it depends on the year, but it's whatever the passion reading from the lectionary is that year, and it's Jesus's crucifixion,
right?
And you end with the crucifixion story, and that leads us into Holy Week. And the idea of doing it in this week is to go, well, if you're not here for Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, if you just come on Palm Sunday and then Easter Sunday, you've missed the whole thing. You've missed the whole point of the story. So this way we give you sort of a taste of Holy Week, because we know you're not going to come anyway, which I don't think is, it's not fair to the people to be like.
It's not fair to the story.
And it's not fair to the story. It's not fair to Palm Sunday, poor Palm Sunday. You know, I just feel like...
Oh, poor Palm Sunday.
So we tried that a couple years, and we're not going to do that anymore, I don't think. I just think let Palm Sunday be its own thing, and then you can let Holy Week be its own thing. You don't need to add all this extra stuff to it, but I don't know. I understand the reason behind it, and we have a lot of colleagues that do it, and I get it. And it is kind of cool. It's a cool way to enter into Holy Week, to be reminded again of what this whole triumphal entry is about. It's not just like... Because the thought is, okay, people come on Palm Sunday. They hear, Hosanna, Hosanna, and everybody's yay, and this whole crowd is cheering Jesus on and waving branches and putting their cloaks down. And then they come the next Sunday, and it's like, he's risen, yay! And it's like two yay Sundays, and you miss the important work that happens between it. So I get the purpose of it, but I just think you can give it its time and space and trust that people will feel called to come on Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday as well. Not as many who will show up on Sunday and a Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday and a Palm Sunday, I should say, but still, people will show up on Good
Friday. It's not our job to have people's faith for them, right? Like,
no, it's not.
So
that's true.
If you don't want to show up for the story of Thursday and Friday, or if you, we're doing all we can here. I don't know. So
it's true.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Palm Sunday.
Let's talk about Palm Sunday.
Interesting Palm Sunday this year, because the processional gospel, we started off with a gospel reading, Luke 19, 28 through 40. I read that with the kids at children's time, and then we did a little procession around the church. It was very cute. They're waving their palm branches. Yeah. My kids tried to walk straight out the door.
Starting their own parade.
They were just going to take the parade out to the streets, apparently, and I was leading the parade, so I didn't look behind me and notice that they weren't following me.
We grabbed them. Don't worry.
Yeah, we got there were a lot of hands on deck. They know the PKs need a little bit, sometimes a little corralling. Yep. This way. And then at the second service, the confirmation service, when I did it, there was a group of girls, or no, two girls, older
like
sister and younger
sisters.
And one was trying to pull the other into each time they went around the corner. They almost did a little too sharp and
a little bang there.
Yeah, oops. But luckily, Pastor Dana was there to make sure no head trauma or anything. But so anyway, that happened at the start of the worship service, which is really cool to begin the service that way, since the story is all about a parade.
You know what we missed?
What?
And these are the Sundays where we miss an organ.
Yeah, I
to
know.
To have a really loud,
all glory, loud, and honor
Duh! On the organ.
Yeah, really just lean on that thing. And pull out all the stops.
Yep.
Did you know that all the stops is an organ thing?
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, you know, people
go,
I pulled out all the stops. Well, organs have stops. They're like little knobs you pull to open up the different pipes
and
the different registers and things. So if you're playing the organ all out, you pull out all the stops, and then all the pipes play at the same time.
Wow.
So there you go. Little known fact, pulling out all the stops is an organ thing. But we don't have an organ at All Saints Lutheran Church, very sadly. And I do miss the organ a lot. It's a hard thing. They're very expensive.
Yes.
They're expensive to install. They're expensive to maintain.
And it's expensive to find people to play them.
We have an organ
shortage.
That is a talent. Not a lot of people are learning how to play the organ, and it's not like a piano. You know, you got multiple rows, and you got your feet, and it's like you got to be part octopus. So yeah, that's just, I don't know. I would like to say, let's do a capital campaign and get an organ. But it's like, I don't know if this would be a lot, and I don't know if it would serve us in the long term or if it would be something that would be hard. We do have two very talented pianists who can play the organ. Jane and Chris can both play the organ.
Oh, I didn't know they could play the organ. Okay.
That's why Jane is, Jane plays the organ, and Chris splits her Sundays. She's at another church that where she does play the organ. So anyway, so we began the church service with Luke 19, 28 through 40.
Yep.
And something very interesting about this Palm Sunday reading, no mention of palms in Luke.
There's only one gospel that mentions palms.
And that's John, right?
John.
John actually mentions the word palms. Matthew and Mark say they took branches from trees. So it like,
oh, okay, yeah.
So it's like, what kind of trees? Yeah. I don't know. They're not specific. It says something about branches. Luke says nothing about any branches or any palms.
But all four of them do have the donkey.
All four of them have the donkey. Mm-hmm. Luke also doesn't have Hosanna.
Right. I noticed that too.
None of them say Hosanna. And you know, I'm talking with the kids and saying, what does Hosanna mean? And
it's
I'm
not
like,
even in the
gospel. And then we have the translation this year that doesn't have Hosanna in it. You know, what does the crowd say? They say, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. So
that sounds very Luke-ish, though.
It's
like,
very
it sounds
Luke-ish.
Very Advent-y, birth of Christ.
And very Luke.
Highest
because,
heavens.
Yeah. Luke is like, he's like the professor of the the four gospels.
Yeah.
Luke's gospel is addressed to somebody called Theophilus.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not told who Theophilus is. It's lost to time, but it's clearly somebody who's educated. I mean, obviously, it's somebody who's educated because it's a written thing, and not everybody read back then. So obviously, it was somebody who was well educated, but also compared to the other gospels, Luke is the one that's most heavy on. I don't know the theology of it all.
Yep.
You know, it's very it's higher. In its sort of theology. So that's Luke. But yeah, Luke, no palms, no branches, and no Hosanna.
But it's a donkey.
But
we
a donkey.
We should be calling it Donkey Sunday.
Yes, we should call it Donkey Sunday because that's more prevalent than the branches, which leads us kind of into your donkey's walk reflection, which I really, really liked. It's very cool. A lot of people, very complimentary to your reflection, your poem.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and you were saying this before we turned the mics on, you're like, everyone was so, they thought you took it from somewhere or found it somewhere.
No, I wrote it.
And to
I
be
mean,
honest.
I had seen a couple things kind of about it,
right.
but not in this kind
not
of
not in this way. Yeah.
Like,
Because I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't have, if it were up to me, I probably would have stolen it from somebody else because I'm not a poet. You know, I would like to be a poet. But I don't know if I could write something like this. It was very, very beautiful, very well done. I liked it
Thank
a lot.
Thank you. It was fun to write and to think about.
Yeah,
and
tell me a little bit about your process for this.
Oh, I like doing stuff like this, kind of, because it you're not thinking in full sentences, too, right? To
right.
which I also was like, a donkey wouldn't think in full sentences. That's
he's a
not,
donkey.
He's
it's
a donkey.
Little, that's kind of the point of the donkey in the story, right? Is it's a simple,
right.
it's a working animal.
Yes.
It's not
that,
this high.
And that's yeah. what I wanted to convey kind of, too, was like, yeah, this donkey is like, I am here to work. That is my purpose.
Yeah.
And but I'm thinking about a donkey like taking everything in too from around, like
trying to
you know, people were talking around this donkey and people were like making plans of how are we gonna get Jesus on this donkey's back?
How are we gonna find this donkey?
How are we gonna find it? What is this for? And then how animals just have this like sense of things. like they have like a sixth sense of like I can feel the weight of something that's not like a heaviness weight but a but like something some emotional or whatever weight
animals and, pick up on vibes
more
than I mean obviously because they don't speak the language or anything but there's like a general like they feel out the situation
and then like the hint of fear, you know how they talk about horses can smell fear and they would buck, they'll buck you off if you're scared of it. I don't know if that's actually true, but like, I feel like I've heard
I don't
rumors
mess with
of
horses.
That like I,
somebody's like, let's go horseback riding. I'm like, you can, I don't,
you're like, cool, go
giant for animals. But, I'm going to get on its back.
Like this, I think animals are really good at that of knowing fear and from people. And so I wanted to like put that in there somewhere of this animal is like, is right there in mm-hmm. this, fully in this moment with Jesus.
Yeah.
And
a central part of the story.
And a central,
this donkey,
physically and spiritually, this kind
colt,
of like
colt that has never been ridden.
Yeah.
You know, it's this, yeah. this, and I like that you touched on that in the reflection of like, oh, okay, we've never done this before. Like, all right, this man is going to get on my back. This is okay. Deep breaths. All right, we train. Yeah, like yeah, we like, trained for this. Like, to imagine the donkey is like, okay, all right, okay, yeah. Back in donkey school, this is what they taught me would happen. So here we go. Here we go. We'll give it a try. I get to work today. Yep. I like that. I get to be a part of this. Yeah, because how would the donkey feel to know that the donkey was like a central part of the story?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, I guess I didn't really talk about the process, but the process was, putting myself inside an animal.
Trying to get into a donkey's headspace.
The animal that I spend the most time with is my dog.
Right.
So I
was going to say that the scratch like, my ear right there. How do you know my favorite spot is such like that's a dog owner's thought too. But people scratch donkeys and horses and stuff for sure.
They
enjoy that, I'm sure. They don't do the thing the dogs do where they go in their back leg starts back going, leg but kicks. You know, they enjoy
they
it.
Will,
I'm sure.
They'll kick if like a fly's near them. They get very annoyed with flies.
Another reason I don't mess with horses.
Yeah.
They'll stomp you to death. They'll kick you dead if they want to. Don't get behind a horse.
Funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then just like my dog, mm-hmm. I wanted some kind of just like gratefulness of this donkey to be included.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what this is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we're doing. Oh, well, God, we got to go through. Yeah. We got to go through this crowd of people. Uh-huh. I'll go around it instead. Mm-hmm. How about that? That would be Darla. She'd be like, how about around it?
Yeah. How about not straight through the mass of humanity?
Like, that's a lot of people.
Yeah. And that's accurate, I think, to these animals.
I just get
too.
To be here for this. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Because don't horses and stuff, they usually, if they're going to be like the horses that are in like Central Park, in New York, mm-hmm. they have those little blinders on the sides or like horses in parades. They'll have the blinders on so they can just look forward.
So they just focus.
Because if they have their peripheral vision
so
is not
good
taken away.
Their eyes
are on the side of their head.
So far.
So if they can see the mass of humanity around them, they panic.
Freak out.
So the fact that you touched on that, like, oh, wow, huge crowd. Are we seriously going there? Yeah, I'm sure the donkey was like, no, thank you.
Right.
I'm going to panic in this big crowd, but
panic.
But the donkey has a purpose.
The donkey has a purpose.
And the donkey can feel the purpose. And I like that you spoke to the donkey's, the fact that it could sense like, oh, okay, this is a gentle sort of person on mm-hmm. me. You know, he's strong, but comfortable. Like it fits just right. I imagine this is how he exists everywhere, which gets to the heart. In a very elegant way of what Palm Sunday is supposed to be, right? It's the people of Jesus's day would have known what a military parade is.
Right.
We don't have them Mm-mm. in this country, and we shouldn't have them in this country because of what they represent. There are certain countries that do military parades all the time.
Yeah.
And the reason why those people do it and those countries do it is because it's a show of force.
Yes.
Don't step out of line.
Yes.
Here's your big bad military to show you how strong we are, right? We don't do that in this country because this is a country that's by the people, for the people. That's what it's supposed to be, right? So, but in Jesus's day, they would have understood a military parade because the might of Rome was all around them.
Mm-hmm.
They were constantly flexing. Rome was constantly flexing.
Yes.
You step out of line, we'll crucify you. You know, you step out of line, you'll get whipped. You know,
well,
like,
I think we have this idea that Jesus gets crucified this week and he's the only one who's ever gotten.
People get crucified all the
people
time.
People get crucified all the time
by
in Rome.
Yeah. Because Rome showed power through, they could take your life if they wanted to. And in a lot of different ways, you know, the governors or mm-hmm. the emperor would have these military parades where everybody parades through and they have all the spoils of the war. You know, they'd have some big trophy that they're holding of something they stole from some civilization they just took over. Mm-hmm. And they would march. They would march through the victory gate. There are usually these big gates that they mm-hmm. walk through. And they'd walk through the gates and the emperor or the governor or whatever, whoever, would be on a big war horse, you know, this big mighty steed.
Yep.
And behind them are chariots and men with, you know, big axes and, you know, swords and stuff. But here comes this gentle Jesus, mm-hmm. not on a war horse, on a pack animal, you know, a work animal, a donkey, yeah. never been ridden before, mm-hmm. and just sort of mm-hmm. making his way. There's no weapons. There's no big, you know, they don't go through the victory gate. They go through this little gate, you know, on the side. Yeah. I did that in one sermon I did on Palm Sunday years ago, so I can't remember the gate that he goes through. Some theologian named what kind of gate it was, and it's like this little tiny.
Isn't that the connection of the, like, the eye of the needle?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
To that gate? Mm-hmm, yeah. Yep.
So it's the fact that he doesn't go through the main victory gate. He goes through kind of like the back door on the opposite mm-hmm. side of town. So it's all, everything in the imagery is supposed to point you towards, like, this is a very humble thing.
Yes.
Even though it's a victory parade, mm-hmm. it's in a different kind of way.
Well, we've painted it as a victory parade
because of we know happens on Easter. But, you know, it was a welcome home, you know, for Jesus. But in a way that's, you know, this is humility and this is on this little humble donkey. So the fact that
the humble little donkey.
In your reflection, the donkey even reflects on, like, this is like a different sort of person that I imagine would be sitting on my back.
Right.
Not some big, heavy, like, boom, I'm going to sit on your back and you're going to mm-hmm. do my bidding. But then, to continue on, you know, you write, there's mm-hmm. a heaviness to him, like a heart heaviness, like he's carrying a lot. His hands are empty, but there's something that he's carrying with him. And of course, we know that soon after the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, it's mm-hmm. it's the story of Maundy Thursday, which is Jesus meeting with his disciples to say, you know, I'm about to be betrayed and handed over tried and killed. And so this heaviness is also apparent in this celebration where we wave palm branches and we go, yay, Jesus, mm-hmm. Is also present. The heaviness of Jesus is going to be on a very different kind of parade on Good Friday. He's mm-hmm. going to be paraded through the streets mm-hmm. And people aren't going to be cheering, yay, Hosanna, save us, yay, Jesus. It's going to be people cheering, crucify him, you know, calling for his blood.
Right.
And he's going to be dragging his cross behind his mm-hmm. bloody body. Very different, very different. And it's mm-hmm. so it's kind of the way that that your poem sort of gets to that point and sort of addresses it but leaves it there of like, there's a heaviness to him. I wonder what's going on. I wonder mm-hmm. what's going to happen next. It does kind of lead us naturally to, like, later on this week, we're going to get to it.
The questions later then of, like,
yeah, is this fear I smell? Yeah.
But the like, are moments like this always tainted with the apprehension of something approaching? Of this, like, is this too good to be true? That we're walking through this parade of humility mm-hmm. for this savior, and the crowd is cheering. Like, there's something else.
Yeah, there's something else happening here.
And
there's a fickleness to this crowd, maybe, of like, is this crowd about to turn on him? Because certainly this would be the same crowd.
Yep.
You know, these Israelite people. It'd be the same Hebrew people, you would think, yelling, mm-hmm. crucify him later. We don't know for sure, but it's probably a lot of the same people in this crowd are there later calling for his death. So it's sort of this tainted something, you know, something's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that brought me to a bigger question of, like, our own moments like that,
mm-hmm.
Feeling victory in some places and then being like, ooh, when's the other shoe going to drop?
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Ooh. And like how this donkey or this animal can feel some of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And questioning, like, do the people know? Does Jesus know? Mm-hmm. What's the real vibe here?
Right.
Like, we're putting out a vibe of waving palms and shouting and, mm-hmm. you know, but, like, what's the real vibe?
Yeah, what's actually happening? And to get back to kind of circle back around to the beginning of our conversation,
mm-hmm.
yeah, there is sort of animals can sense that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. the people in the crowd didn't feel it because they're calling him savior and they're hailing him as the mm-hmm. one who's come to save them, you know, Hosanna, help us, save us, you know, you're the savior. But something, maybe the donkey knew something's coming. There's some apprehension to the day of something's approaching. There's a heaviness around this this victory parade. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah. I always kind of get stuck with the, you know, the authority, which I, like you said, the men, mm-hmm. the men in charge of mostly everything.
Is, yeah. As from a donkey's perspective, yeah. wouldn't they just be yeah. like, yeah, those guys kind of run everything yeah. sometimes.
They're the ones who always yeah. come around and, you know, tell my buddies to do a bunch yeah, of work right. and stuff. So like, yeah, I guess, yeah. Yeah. Here they are, all these guys that are, I guess, in charge of the world. They, right, you know, so they're trying to silence all the people shouting.
Well, because of course they would. About this, like they would be like running behind yeah. this parade, right?
Be like, what's going on?
Be like, what's going on? Stop it!
Stop
Quit it!
It. Yeah.
Hey, Jesus, dude, tell yeah. him to stop.
Who's this Jesus guy? Why is everybody paying so much attention to this guy?
Yeah,
because they've been following him throughout the gospel right, too. Every right. time Jesus has some great work, great show of power, there's always somebody whispering in the background. And that's when they plotted to, mm-hmm. you know, that's when they started to say, this Jesus is too powerful. You know, we should put a stop to this. We should put an end to it. A lot of the stories from the Gospels, if there's some great sign, you know, Jesus healing the sick or multiplying the loaves of bread and fishes or whatever, there's always some ending of like, and that's when the authorities got
that's
together.
When the men who were mostly
in charge
of
everything and said, who is this Jesus guy? He's whipping up crowds. He's stirring up a yeah. frenzy.
Yeah.
He's saying the world is going to be flipped upside down. Like, oh, we don't like this guy. We should take him out. So here they are mm-hmm. again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like you yeah. said, sort yeah. of, I imagine them sort of undignified, like jogging behind.
I
like,
know.
Hey, cut it out. Hey, everybody stop shouting. You're being too loud in the streets. Like, calm down. What is everybody making such a big commotion
yeah.
for?
Yeah.
They're trying to get back a hold of it. And I love that piece of, even if these were silent, the stones would even shout out. Something so cool about that.
I had this idea that if that maybe the stones really were shouting out.
Yeah. And we just couldn't hear it.
And the people were so loud that we couldn't hear it. And what yeah. if an animal who has a sixth sense heard
could
that?
Could hear it. Like,
yeah,
that rock
like,
down there.
Was, yeah. Like, oh, but the rock. Well, you know, they are so in tune with the ground. And
right,
like,
yeah.
And the mm-hmm. earth already that,
yes.
that I liked this idea that maybe
there's some rootedness
some rootedness in mm-hmm. that was actually happening.
Right.
But we are just so, like, busy mm-hmm. that we can't hear creation actually shouting out either. And,
right.
And something like an animal could hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. Sort of being grounded yeah. in everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The animal would be able to mm-hmm. maybe take that in because they're so grounded.
And that groundedness is connected to the walking on the cloaks. Like,
right.
Can
yeah.
you imagine a donkey, like
right.
they are not the most, they're not the highest yeah. animal,
no.
right?
Mm-mm.
They're not walking on nice streets.
No.
They're not.
Yeah. They're walking on very
they're
jagged
not getting pedicures.
No.
Yeah.
yeah
they're walking through mud mm-hmm. and
yeah.
dirt, like
stones
and rocks mm-hmm. and like.
Suddenly it's like, ooh, pillowy soft.
Yeah.
What is this stuff?
And this animal who was like, I shouldn't be stepping on this. Like,
yeah. I'm going to tear a hole through this
right.
with
and,
my hoof.
And, but this other idea of like, but we're walking above the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, kind of floating a little bit.
This is such reverence for this guy that
yeah.
we are walking above the ground.
Yeah, yeah, I like that you mentioned that, mm-hmm. you know, I took careful steps to its beautiful hand-stitched cloaks. Yeah, I never gave much thought to what the cloaks would look like, but back in Jesus' day, obviously, they weren't from ASOS or whatever. I'm trying to think of... what's the like cheapest fast fashion?
Shein.
These were not cloaks from Shein where they're just like cheap, whatever.
Yeah,
they're made of
right.
rayon and, you know, blended stuff. Like they would have been handmade. Someone would have
yep.
been
yep.
sitting, I imagine by candlelight, you know, carefully
handmade, probably hand dyed.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why, you know, when they talk about like purple garments and stuff, we're like, okay, who cares that it's purple? But it's like in those days, purple
meant a lot of work.
Is a hard yep. color to find because you mm-hmm. don't see a lot of purple in nature, meaning you don't have a lot of stuff that you can turn into dye to make mm-hmm. things that color. So yeah, they were probably hand dyed, hand stitched. And suddenly they're just throwing them on the ground and letting an animal walk on it.
Right.
That speaks to how important they thought this savior
right.
was.
Right. Well, it goes back to the oil.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. Mary. And Mary. Of this abundance.
Whoa.
Of,
like, yeah, you're just like, giving this thing up?
Right.
Yeah. You're just going to let your cloak be ruined by all these people? Because I'm sure as soon as Jesus passed by, too, people followed him.
Yeah. They were
following him up because we think of a parade as like you make a nice little line and it goes through and you just sit there and when it's done, you take your bags and you go. But like this is a one man parade. So like everybody probably just like kept walking along. So not only did your cloak get stomped on by a donkey, but also everybody else stomped on it.
Right.
And it's like, wow, they just gave up the thing that they probably worked very hard on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of it's an amazing story, but it's one that we kind of breeze by to get to Holy Week in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Especially this year because of all the things going on. But it's like, yeah, we don't stop sometimes to think about all the little pieces of it, which is kind of the beauty and the power of poetry, right? Is that it makes you take a breath and stop and, you know, listen to the birds chirping and, you know, kind of ground, like you said, ground yourself in wherever this place is and kind of like sniff the air and feel what's happening. And yeah, you get that through poetry and other forms of spoken word just don't do the same thing. You know, they don't examine all the little elements of a scene as much. So this was a good Sunday to use something like this. And it helped too, because we were on a time constraint. So,
and the kids were in there. I thought that would,
For them to hear it in a different way.
Yeah.
Yep. Very cool.
Yeah. Well, and it did help to do a parade before also and go through the gospel and for you to talk about Hosanna.
Everything kind of has its own moment, you know?
Right. But I needed that kind of set up for this too.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Yeah. It was a fun one.
Yeah. It was a good Sunday.
I'm exhausted.
It's Masters Sunday too. So it's good napping Sunday, like you said.
Yep.
There's something about the voice of Jim Nance and the tradition like none other. So we'll see. We'll see if Rory can get it done.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. I got a pimento cheese waiting at home for me.
Ooh.
I make it every year. I make it on the Monday of the Masters, and then I have pimento. I'm kind of sick of pimento cheese sandwiches because I've had them every single day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I get big into it.
Yeah, you are.
I put my name in the lottery every year. Never been called. You can't just buy tickets to the Masters.
Yeah,
you have to. It's very, everything about the Masters, very prestigious.
Yes. Because they take your phones away, right?
They take your phones away. Yep. You can't have phones on the ground. So you'll see all the patrons. That's another thing. That's not, you don't call it the crowd or spectators. They're patrons. The patrons that are there in Augusta, at Augusta National, nobody has their phone out.
Right.
Which is so funny because they'll often do this every year on social media. They'll put a picture of, you know, the game winning shot or of like LeBron James, you know, or when Alex Ovechkin just surpassed Wayne Gretzky for the goal scoring, and everybody's got their phone out.
Right.
So they have that picture next to whatever this year is going to be, if it's Rory, you know, sinking the last putt on 18. And it'll be everybody just watching at the Masters in the moment because you can't have your screen in front of your face.
It is cool.
And it's like, be in the moment.
Yeah. Are you going to relate this back to Palm Sunday?
Which relates to Palm Sunday because...
Did you just want to talk about the Masters?
The crowd in Jesus' day did not
have
their phones out
either.
We're
really thinking. Okay.
Luke does not mention an iPhone once.
Oh, does John?
John does, yeah. Okay. Sorry, John does. And Mark mentions Samsung Galaxies. He has
Mark would be the Android.
Mark would be the Android guy. He's got a contract with them. Yeah, I don't know how I was going to relate that. I just wanted to talk about the Masters.
I know you did.
Love it.
We got to stay on topic once in a while, though.
I guess so. We've been talking for 34 minutes. We're good.
I know.
Yeah. What other thoughts?
I wanted to ask you if you were to think about a different perspective from Palm Sunday.
Yeah.
Where would you take a perspective from?
Yeah, maybe somebody in the
crowd.
Someone
in the crowd.
Yeah, and then. Because, like we mentioned earlier, the fact that this crowd is most likely a lot of the folks that made up the crowds on Good Friday that shout crucify.
Yes.
So to have a perspective on Palm Sunday of somebody that maybe wandered and was just like, what's everybody screaming about? who's this guy? What's going on?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, I heard of that guy. You know, right. I heard he fed a bunch of people, or, you know, he heals the sick. That's kind of crazy. And then it's like, oh, what are we doing? We're throwing our cloaks down, my cloak,
right.
you know?
Right.
And then to have that perspective of like, I guess I'm throwing my cloak on the ground. I worked really hard on this thing. It's the only one I got, but whatever, I'll throw it down anyway.
That's a funny take though, to for someone just not really to know, but to follow the crowd.
Because people do that all the time, right?
True.
Because the power of a crowd is like, if somebody just starts chanting something, most people are going to be like, I will too. Like we're creatures of
Should they test that out animals. At the Masters?
Yeah, just get everybody to be like,
everybody
chanting. I don't know. Yeah, pimento cheese. Pimento cheese. The whole crowd would do it.
Would they?
No, I would.
I certainly would. Someone's teeing off. Let's
try exactly. my gosh. But I don't know. But people do that, right?
If you
see a crowd of people gather
around,
people will just naturally be. I think they have done experiments on that where they have someone just like start a line. You know, in New York City where there are lines everywhere for like merch drops or like some coffee shop is like, or some donut or bagel places has some like limited edition.
Yeah.
People will line up in New York City for anything.
Oh, yeah.
That's a town of lines. And they've done studies, I think, just like if people see a line, people will just be like, I'm in line too. I don't want to miss it. It's like, miss what? You don't even know what you're lined up for, but you're like, me too. So I think, if people start a crowd for whatever. Oh, people, there's been TikTok trends like this where somebody has told their friends to bring like a big DSLR camera or something with a big flash.
Yeah.
And like, okay, I'll walk around through the Las Vegas Strip with sunglasses on or something and make it look with my hat pulled down.
Oh, make it look like I'm famous.
You follow behind me and just start snapping pictures. You know, and just be like, Josh, everybody be like, oh my gosh, it's Josh. The amount of people that will be like, did you know Josh? Like people will just jump in and be like, it's Josh. And nobody stops to think, who is this person? Suddenly everybody else has their iPhone out being like, we're all taking pictures of this guy. So I don't know. Maybe that would be the perspective I would take of the people whipped up into the crowd of like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus is here. Cool. It's like, do they really know? Or are they just doing it? And the opposite side is on Good Friday. How many people in that crowd yelling crucify him really wanted to see him crucified?
Yep.
Or were they just whipped up?
Or how quickly they changed.
They changed from we hate this guy.
Yeah.
And I mean, isn't that the truth? How fickle we are today of like, you love a celebrity one day and next day it's like, we all hate him. It's like, oh my gosh, really? Like, why do we turn on people so quick? So I don't know. Maybe there's something to that too of like, there were a handful of people who were trying to get Jesus killed for sure. But did everybody in that crowd really want him dead? Or is it just like, oh, everybody else is shouting about it. Yep. So I guess I'll go with the crowd because I don't want to be the one guy to raise my hand and go, I don't know. Should we not do this? I don't know.
Wait. Yeah.
And that's happened throughout history too, of countries that get swept up into stuff by a populist leader and just get swept up into stuff. And it's like, you don't really know what you're saying, but everybody else is doing it. So you're like, I'll just do it too. And I'll just jump on board. And it's like, are you really aligned with this person? Or are you just doing it because there's a crowd whipped up and you want to be part of it? I don't know. So it's very interesting. So maybe that would be the take I would have. Somebody from the crowd
like
that
the
doesn't
connection,
know.
I like the connection, though, to the switch on Good Friday. This is the parade. And then that's a very different kind
very
of
different
parade.
And that's that's always in the back of my mind, which is another reason why a lot of churches do Palm Passion Sunday, because it does make a lot of sense to connect it, to be like a big parade that's all joyful and then a big parade later that's trying to get Jesus killed. And they go hand in hand because they're probably a lot of the same people and it happens so quick. So, I don't know. Maybe that'd be an angle on it too.
I'm thinking about how we started this too, of Palm Passion Sunday, and then
it,
people who don't come on Monday, Thursday, or Good Friday. And so you go from Celebration Sunday on Palm Sunday to Celebration Sunday.
Yeah, two
Easter
festival
Sunday.
Sundays, right?
And,
boom, boom.
You know, like the gospel is still for all of that too. Like the, and so there are so many people who choose positivity. And celebration and like, and so I don't know. I'm a little bit like, okay, cool. If that's how you want to do this.
Yeah. That's how you enter into the story. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's not wrong.
You need to find any entry point that you can take.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you're not at a place to take on Monday, Thursday and Good Friday and these,
that's a lot of heaviness.
These things like, the gospel is still for you and it is not a gospel that needs your suffering to enjoy the resurrection or like that is, that's something maybe that's been twisted a little bit.
Like you have to go through it to really feel it. And it's like, in my mind, of course, I think it's, you're better off for it because you can see the fullness of it. But to your point of like, if that's not what you need right now, there's, you know, it's still Easter for you too. He's still, he's, you know, he's risen regardless, you know, whether you show up and you're, you participate in the other stuff or not. That's not, there's no requirement to. Jesus goes to the cross and is risen anyway.
Well, and that's the good news of the whole thing. Like it doesn't, it doesn't demand anything.
Anything, right? Yeah. It's a free gift
of
for all.
Of presence, of suffering, of acknowledgement, of like, of confirmation, like, you know, like that is the other kind of awkward part of having confirmation Palm Sunday is that this, this whole story actually doesn't require you to like confirm
choose
your faith
for yourself. Right? Yeah. It's like no, that's like, kind of, which is why confirmation is not a sacrament in our faith.
Right.
You know, it's, it's just a conscious step forward, but you don't need to take that,
which is great. It's for the person doing it. It's not for, you know, whatever.
I had somebody come up in the communion line.
I kind
of
saw this,
and
but
he
I didn't
said,
hear the end of it.
He said, I can't take communion. I haven't yet been confirmed. So can you just give me a blessing? And if we would have had more time and it wasn't, you know, a line of people behind him, I would have said, you know, let's unpack this. Hold on. Yeah. Because I don't
pause the line here.
Because you certainly don't need to be confirmed to get, because we do first communion instruction for typically third through fifth graders at this church.
And
so
not as
confirmed.
Well, not confirmed, but not as a like milestone. Just as a, like that's kind of the
that's
age
kind
you
of
understand.
The maturity level where you can kind of understand. Yeah. But even that I would say you don't even need to understand it.
Right.
To receive the grace in it, because the grace, you know, the work works the work. It's not us, you know.
The work works the work.
It is. Ex opera operato. That's some Latin for you. But that's what we believe as a Lutheran church.
Right.
It's not me. It's not Pastor Dana. It's not our magic hands as ordained people. You know, it is the word of God in and with the bread and the wine that does the thing. You know, so if you come up on a Sunday morning and you haven't had First Communion instruction, or you're not confirmed, or, you know, whatever, you're planning your Sunday grocery list, you're not mentally here at all.
Right.
I have faith that the Holy Spirit is still working
I don't
in
know.
The sacrament
I'm like,
anyway.
I'm like, if you're going to put your hands out to receive a piece of bread,
you.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Like, and there are kids sometimes
kids
who are like,
do it too.
Who are like, whoops, I took communion.
And the parents
you know,
will
the parents
be like,
are like,
oh no. And,
I'm,
and
like,
I'm like,
whatever they put their hands out.
They're not going to be hurt. It's not going to like choke them or anything. Like they're fine.
Right.
But yeah,
but then on the opposite side, there are other people who like don't put their hands out. And I'm like, do you want this?
Do you want this or
like,
not? I don't know what you're doing.
You have to do the most basic thing to
open your hand,
your hand.
But yeah, for someone to come up and say, I'm not confirmed. But obviously it's a communion line. There's no time for that conversation. And also maybe in their faith, they have to be confirmed before
Is that Catholics do that?
I don't know if Catholics. No, I think Catholics do First Communion at a young age too. But there are faiths that have
communion
other hurdles to get to the table, which is, you have to take First Communion instruction along with confirmation. And then after you're confirmed, then you can come to the table. But but to your point of it's not something you need to earn, just like Easter isn't something you need to earn by going through Good Friday. You don't need, you know, you don't need anything to come to the table and receive the sacrament. You know, you will, you will receive it as a free gift of grace anyway. And we have faith that it's God working that anyway, not us or any requirement we put in the way.
So that's my, maybe that's my opposite perspective on Monday, Thursday and Good Friday is that
you don't need it.
You don't
for Easter to be Easter. For the fullness of maybe
someone
the bigger
like me,
picture.
I need it.
Yeah, okay? I need it too, And, I mean, we get people who say they need specific hymns on a Good Friday too, or whatever. Like, if I don't sing, if I don't sing, Were You There? That's what, shout out Darcy. She says she listens to this podcast. I don't know if she'll make it 45 minutes in, but there was a year that we didn't get Were You There? She didn't get to sing it. And she's like, I didn't sing Were You There? It doesn't feel like I did Good Friday. And it's like, you know, everybody's got their thing that, like,
you know,
I need
we do
to
worship on
it.
Sundays all the time without communion.
Yeah.
Did we really
that's
worship?
For,
no.
For you, you feel like that's worship. So everybody's got their little things that they're like, I need to do this thing or experience this thing to feel like I can get the other thing. But
I think
there's grace for that.
I think the ways that we just as humanity experience suffering and struggle, like, maybe just can't be contained in a day in a box in a worship service. And so
which is why
like,
we do it
if
every
you,
year.
Which is why we do it every
year.
You
gotta keep trying.
You're gonna connect to it in some kind of way.
Yeah, we'll try again next
this
year.
Is not this is not a hey, don't come to Monday, Thursday or Good Friday, because they are my favorite days also.
Yeah. They're good.
And this is the thing. Like this is every Sunday worship of the entire church calendar is a mini Easter.
Right.
Where we're celebrating a resurrection. So like this is the week where we, where this is our Jesus as a savior who's taken on the weight of the world, going to go to a cross and, you know, wake up risen in 3 days. So yeah, we do this for remembering, but if it's not the place and time and space that like is for you, I think there's a protecting your peace kind of a
you're allowed to
message
for sure.
in there too.
Absolutely. Well, this is a good probably place to say we do have worship through Holy Week here at All Saints. And if you want to come to Monday, Thursday, 6:30 p.m. on Thursday, April 17th.
Thursday night.
Yep. 6:30 p.m.
Don't come
6:30 a.m. I don't think anybody will be here. Good Friday, April 18th. That's worship at 6:30 also p.m. And then on Easter
it's nice
Sunday,
that they're the same. So both of them at 6:30.
Both of them at 6:30.
Yeah.
And then on Easter Sunday, that's the 20th, we have worship at 7:30 a.m. Gulp, 9 a.m. and 10:15 a.m. I say gulp for 7, but 7:30. But some churches
some of
really
them are
do,
doing them at 7.
Really
I think
do a
California
sunrise,
was 6:30. Yeah.
A sunrise. They actually, you know, you start the service outside.
Yep.
You know, you greet the sun.
California
and then
was
go
all
in.
Outside.
Yeah.
At 6:30. Yeah.
We had a courtyard
shout
in
out
Fort
Glory
Worth.
Day.
Yeah. Shout out Trinity in Fort Worth. We also had a courtyard because, you know, in the South, in this country, it's like, why not enjoy? So we did
except
a lot
last
of stuff
year,
in the courtyard.
It rained. And
in California?
In California.
Are they okay?
California
they
had
survive?
The two rainiest years that I lived there.
They got an inch and a half of rain and people nearly drowned.
They
didn't know how to act.
Californians, man, they really did.
They're, yeah, exactly. So anyway, we do hope you'll join us for our Holy Week and for Easter. And we also hope that you help us continue the conversation. If you have thoughts on this Sunday, on Palm Sunday, on what this means to you, maybe a different perspective of the triumphal entry too. I'd like to hear that. So write to us, pop into church, give us a comment on Instagram, Facebook, whatever. We hope to talk to you soon. Thank you for continuing the conversation and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.